Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's good to have all of you here tonight. We want to do something a little bit different than the more recent Wednesday nights that we've had, but not completely different from things that we've done in the past at our midweek service. Many of you know I've been in the midst of Zechariah, attempting to do a broad overview of that great prophecy. And on Monday morning, I'm going to let you inside my head a little bit for a moment. On Monday morning, I decided we would finish it this week. There's only 6 chapters left. That wouldn't be a big deal, right, to cover in a half hour on a Wednesday night. And I made a valiant effort at that. It ended up being, I had to split it into 2 separate talks. And then I wanted to do them back-to-back. Well, there's not a back-to-back coming up in the very near future because Mez is here next week, and then we have a normal Wednesday night, and then it's the Wednesday that's scheduled for prayer, and so it's going to put it off a little. So I ended up at around lunch today finally putting Zechariah on the shelf until later, and we will revisit it in the very near future. Lord willing, it won't be 6 months getting back to it like it was last time I put it on the shelf for a little while. But you may also remember that a couple of months ago, we started for 1 month. We took advantage of the Lord's Prayer and used it as a pattern as we came together on Wednesday nights, looking at the different portions of the prayer and how they ought to be used in praying and attempting to use that as helpful guides for our prayer. And at the final one of those, again, I came with a wad of notes planning to talk about the last 3 petitions in the prayer: the provision, pardon, and protection that Jesus teaches us there in that model prayer. But when it came time, we started late after the songs. There was a long list that night of things to pray about. So again, I just took my notes and threw them under here, and we prayed only that night. So I dug those notes out a little while ago and revisited them. And what I want to do tonight, especially in light of this week, the catechism question being about prayer as well, is to consider prayer, specifically these 3 final petitions that our Lord teaches us here in the model prayer, and then to spend some time before we leave this evening praying together. We'll talk more about that as we get there. I'm going to work hard to keep the statements rather brief, spending less than half hour, Lord willing, talking about the text, and then we'll have a bit of time to pray together in the end. Speaking of the catechism question, I trust that you're not waiting till Saturday and cramming for Sunday morning. What is prayer? Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. We'll see that the answer to that question is covered in a large measure, even in the model prayer here in Matthew 6, where Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, we ought to have confidence in him as our Father, while at the same time maintaining reverence for him as our Sovereign. He's our Father. It reveals the quality and depth of love that he has for us, his people. But he's not our Father who is right here and touchable and tangible in that way, but he's in heaven. He is great and awesome. He is eternal and infinite and omnipotent. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is holy, O God. Make it holy among us. Display it, reveal it, pull back the curtain and expose the holiness that belongs only to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your name, God, your kingdom, your will. Jesus, in teaching us how to pray here, shows that we ought to have extreme concern for God and for his glory in our midst. And then he continues, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I believe by my count, that's 8 personal pronouns. Our provision from the Father, our pardon in the Son, and our protection by the power of the Spirit. And then he closes the prayer, for yours, O God, is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. This ought to be the pattern of our lives. And if it's going to be the pattern of our lives, how are we going to carry out this pattern? If these really are our desires, and as his children, they ought to be, to see his name hallowed, to see his kingdom come, and for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, how are we going to carry out these desires? The prayer continues, by means of material provision that he himself will give us, because of ongoing forgiveness and spiritual protection. Let's begin initially with the material provisions. Give us this day our daily bread. Does it not seem a bit odd to you that after these bold requests concerning the kingdom of God, his honor and his glory and his will being done in our lives, regarding the spiritual needs, that the next thing on the agenda would be something flowing out of that? How are we going to make that happen? But following the express concern for God's name and for his kingdom and for his will, the request sounds a bit temporal. We might even say worldly. I mean, does it not seem contradictory to you? Hallowed be your name. Give us this day our daily bread. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus teaches us here, however, to acknowledge our entire dependence on God for the supply of our daily necessities. All humanity is totally dependent on God to supply their needs. As his children, as his people, we've been given grace, the grace required to see that the kind provision that we have is from his hand. Our approach at this point in the prayer should be, after asking God to set his name apart as holy, to expand his kingship in our lives and among us, and to accomplish his desired will in our lives, we must then ask where are we going to get the energy and the sustenance to work towards these glorious ends that we've asked God to accomplish among us? To fail to mention our personal needs for fear of bothering God with pettiness is as great of an error as allowing these type of items to dominate our prayers. There's a balance. If we never prayed for God's kingdom and for his glory, but we're always going and asking for stuff, that would be a problem. And it's just as big of a problem for us to assume or presume on him and not go and acknowledge that he's the giver of our daily necessities. Everything that we have is from him. He is our great provider. We must not give in to the notion that prayers regarding physical needs are somehow low-grade prayers. Because God is our Father. Our Father who is in heaven. He loves with a father's love. He is concerned for the complete well-being of his children. It's hard to argue that he isn't concerned about things as simple as food, a especially when we consider the miraculous feeding of 4,000 on one occasion and 5,000 on another. We have a tendency as humans, a tendency that we are prone towards extremism, and it comes into play with issues like this regarding care for our physical bodies. We often err when it comes to taking care of our bodies. We err sometimes by deifying them, sometimes by despising them, sometimes by disregarding them. The only right response happens as a result of us recognizing that God, our Father, is our Maker, and therefore we must honor Him with our bodies. This keeps us from deifying them or despising them or disregarding them. Give us this day is the way that Christ taught us to pray. This is a bit foreign to us in our culture. We don't function in a way that we understand the concept of looking to Christ daily or looking to God as our Father for our daily provision. In the first century, that's the way that it worked, and it works that way across the world in other places. One of the most striking things I found upon moving to Ethiopia initially was that it really was today's pay for today's food. The majority of the workforce there got up in the morning and went to work so that they could eat supper, them and their families. It's a little bit different in our culture. Most of us could skip work tomorrow or the next week and still find something to eat. We go to work so that one day we don't have to go to work. But Christ is teaching us the pattern should be to depend on God, to rely on Him. Also, give us this day our daily bread. Bread didn't last longer than a day. It doesn't without preservatives. Exodus 16:4, I will rain bread from heaven for you, God said, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Remember that from our Exodus series. They had to go out every day, gather for that day. They had tried to gather a little extra, and it rotted on them. Give us this day our daily bread. It's unfortunate, but we have to make mention that this prayer for God to provide our daily material needs does not, hear me now, it does not in any way whatsoever negate the obligation that we have to work and provide for ourselves, for our families, as well as to serve the needy. There is a synergistic relationship between divine providence and our laboring responsibilities when it comes to vocation. Jesus does not tell us here to pray for our daily bread so that we can sleep late and avoid long days and cut corners at the job. He tells us to pray that God will provide, helping us to see, to acknowledge that He is our Father. He's given us vocation and employment, and that's the way that He desires to provide for us. And just as food is indispensable for the life and health of our physical bodies, forgiveness is indispensable for the life and health of our souls. Give us this day our daily bread, Jesus continues, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. We're alive physically, and we need to be kept alive, and God provides for that. We're guilty as sinners, and we need to be cleansed from it, and there's pardon for that. And if we skip ahead to the third point, which we'll be at momentarily, we need to be guarded from certain things, both now and in the future, and there's protection for that. Material provisions, give us this day our daily bread, and forgiving pardon, forgive our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. In our fight against self-righteousness, in our fight and struggle against self-justification, this petition will serve us well if we will make it our habit to daily confess our sins and to continually seek God and His mercy and forgiveness. The previous petitions in the prayer have implied agreement to our responsibility. We've already asked and made a commitment to His glory, to serving in His kingdom, to doing His will. But this one is included in Jesus' statement, as we also have forgiven our debtors. When we are outside of Christ, God is our judge. Once the verdict justified has been declared in the courtroom of God, He no longer is our judge, but He adopts us and He becomes our Father. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus is teaching us to pray is a family prayer. It's for children. It's for you and for me, for those who are in Christ, those who long to be in close communion with Him. Forgive us our debts. God only forgives the repentant. And a chief evidence of true repentance is a forgiving spirit. If you pray this fifth request, the request that we're looking at, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, with integrity, in its entirety, you are either saying that you will forgive anyone of anything, or you're saying that you're not a beneficiary of God's forgiveness. This is what you're praying if you pray it with integrity in its entirety. God, please forgive me proportionately to the way in which I forgive people who have offended me. Are you willing to pray in that fashion? The expectation for children of God is clear. Keep short accounts with the Father, not only in our relationship with Him, but in our relationships with each other. Forgiveness of others is so important that immediately after that, if you notice, if you have your Bibles open, verse 14, Jesus immediately takes up and adds a bit more commentary on this idea of forgiveness. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. It's pretty clear. No exceptions. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, material provision. God, show yourself strong as our provider. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgiving pardon. And finally, do not lead us into temptation. He's our provider. He gives us pardon, and He is our protector. Our proneness to stray is obvious. If you've walked with Christ any time at all, you know the proneness of your heart to wonder. We need deliverance from evil in the world. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. We need deliverance from the evil, not only in the world, but from the evil within. We need deliverance from the evil one who prowls around seeking someone to devour. Even when Jesus was praying elsewhere in His high priestly prayer, I do not ask you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them from evil. Do not allow us to be led into temptation is the prayer to God, into temptation that overwhelms us. Now, notice I mentioned that after the prayer, the model prayer ends, Jesus picks up again with the idea of forgiveness, the placement of lead us not into temptation between the petition for forgiveness and the further explanation of forgiveness is not accidental, suggesting that the primary temptation here in this view, with what Jesus is teaching about thematically in the Sermon on the Mount, is the temptation that we all face to maintain a veneer of true religion outwardly while corruption still dominates within. The theme of this portion of the Sermon on the Mount is the overthrow of man-made religious hypocrisy. Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The psalmist writes in Psalm 91, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. Or the apostle to the church at Thessalonica, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from evil. Do not lead us into temptation. Surely it makes you ask the question, does God ever lead us into temptation? No, never. He does, however, have the ability to guide us away from temptation, around temptation, and to help us through temptation. And that's what is intended by this final petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The three petitions that are man-focused, which feels so uncomfortable for us to consider. But when we consider where the prayer begins and see the necessity of us acknowledging our Father as creator and provider, acknowledging the Son's atoning death and the pardon that we are granted, and acknowledging the Spirit's indwelling power and the ongoing protection that we need. We are dependent on God for our physical sustenance. We are dependent on God for our spiritual victory. And we are dependent on God even for our moral triumph. And those are the three areas here that Jesus teaches us how to pray, which is in keeping with the catechism question this week. Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in praise, praising Him. For past provision, has He not given us all that we need? Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in petition, going again, asking, God, tomorrow we need Your grace again. We need provision again. We need pardon to be displayed and extended to us again. We need protection from the evil one and from the evil within and from the evil without again. And confessing sin so that we might continue the relationship with Him and offering thanksgiving. Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. So now we'll take the remainder of our time in thinking about, give us this day our daily bread, in thinking about our daily provision, in thinking about the pardon that's ours because of the finished work of Jesus, and in thinking about the need for protection from temptation and from evil, let's take advantage of the few moments that we have together and go to Him in prayer.